Radio Real. Real radio, your reality.
Welcome to Off the Shelf,
the Second Life radio show and podcast about books and the people who love them.
I'm Kegia Girardi.
And this is Simeon Beresford.
Join us as we survey the literary scene in our virtual world.
Hello again, and welcome to Off the Shelf. Today, poetry is the theme.
April is just around the corner, and that's National Poetry Month in both the US and Canada.
While in May, the Queen will appoint a new poet laureate. I hope it's Roger McGough, but the bookie favourite is Simon Armitage, a safe pair of hands.
Isn't it amazing that poetry actually has bookies trying to choose who's going to be the winner? But you mentioned McGough. Is he a dangerous choice for poet laureate?
No, not really. Maybe Jackie Kay. She's got so many minority labels that it's just embarrassing. But she's just too nice.
I thought you had a fondness for Wendy Cope.
I do, but she does a lot of poetry stuff, and I think that'll a lot of comedy stuff, and I think that'll weigh against her.
Speaking of poets, our first guest today is one of the most active figures in the Second Life poetry scene. Persephone Phoenix hosts an open mic poetry reading on Sunday evenings at the Blue Angel Poets Dive, and she can often be found at other open mics and poetry readings. Additionally, she leads a weekly poetry workshop and is an amazing poet in her own right. It's good to have you here, Persephone.
Lovely to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation to join you.
I always love talking with you. So, can you tell us a bit about how you became involved in the poetry scene in Second Life?
My poetry involvement in Second Life more or less evolved from connection in online poetry forums and in First Life events. It just seemed a natural extension of those activities. In fact, I built the Blue Angel as an amalgam of a few places I've read here in New York.
How did you choose, what elements did you choose to bring into the Poets Dive?
Well, there was one place where I used to read occasionally that had all these posters all over the wall of readers who had appeared there, William Burroughs, Husker Du, whatever musical acts, and these posters would stay up literally for a decade or so, and would get yellowed and would roll at the corners. And so I took that visual element, but also I actually took the Blue Angel from the name of one of the places that one of my favorite open mic hosts emceed. And so he hosted many, that was Faceboy, he hosted many wonderful open mics in New York City, mostly on the Lower East Side, including the Collective Unconscious, Surf Reality, and he hosted also as a MC at a burlesque club called the Blue Angel, which I really liked the name of. So I kind of took all these different things. There was also a little place, a little dive bar that had its own literary magazine that I was a bartender at for a while. So I took all these elements and kind of tried to spin them together into the Blue Angel.
So the Blue Angel has a bit of a risque background, doesn't it?
Oh, I was trying to make it seem like the sort of place where Bukowski might have gone to have a beer. That was the goal initially. We might be a little too upscale for Bukowski, I don't know.
Well, you've been at Blue Angel for how long?
I actually opened the Blue Angel back in 2006. I was downsizing a bit. First, I had a larger, more comprehensive venue, the Phoenix Spa, which came about as a result of me winning a little bit of land a long time ago, back in 2004. So I made a big spa for people. And at that spa, we had writing events, scening events, that's theater improvisation, but done mostly in text, fashion, live music. And then when I started on a master's program in First Life, I needed to cut back the hours I spent in Second Life. So I figured I needed to focus on one activity, and that became literary events, because truly poetry is my primary love.
Has the Blue Angel evolved much over the time that you've had it?
Well, only in that, I was initially only going to do one event a week. I was really firm on that. I was going to do only the open mic, which started off right away on Sundays, and it was quickly very popular. I was really pleased to see community build quickly in that venue. But then a few other people would come by and say, "Oh, can I run a workshop?" Or, "I'd like to do this or that." And so we started kind of incorporating a few more events. So really, it stayed almost the same, except that we have a few more events now. We've got showcase readings on Tuesdays. We have Celine's Story Hour on Fridays, and we have a Saturday workshop that's consistently on Saturday mornings. Either well. Consistently inconsistent. It's either at 8 a.m. or at 10 a.m. We alternate the times every 2 weeks in order to accommodate everyone who might want to come.
Yes, you've got a pretty good British group there that seem to insist on having tea.
Yeah, I can't deny people their opportunity for tea time. So the only problem is that people don't have it consistently at the same time. It's like one group or a couple of people have it at one time, and then others at another. So we're trying to accommodate everyone as much as we can.
Great. You have really given a lot to the poets in Second Life, but I'm sure you've gained a lot as well. How has the community here helped or changed your work?
Well, I think one thing is that reading my poetry out loud in a live setting is something that's very powerful for me because having been in theater and as well been involved with poetry for a while, there's something really wonderful about getting that instant gratification of response to your writing. And in Second Life, we have even a better opportunity for reading live because in real life, or First Life, I should say, typically people will read poetry, but you don't get to see the script. In Second Life, we have an opportunity to use poetry line readers so that someone can read along or read along on note card quite easily as you're reading aloud. So it makes it a more intense experience. But beyond that, at the poetry workshops, I also have benefited from wonderful advice on my work, and that's been very helpful.
The addition of voice in Second Life has been a big boon for the poetry, open mic poetry scene, hasn't it?
It really has changed things. When I opened the Blue Angel, there was no voice, and in fact, there weren't even any line readers back then. So we would simply type our poems into live chat, and even then, you sort of get an idea of the flow by how long it takes somebody to type a line in. But it was still very primitive compared to how things are now. I mean, it's so you get a real feeling of authenticity of the voice of the poem by being able to hear it in the author's words and voice as well.
And it's always a little surprising to have the voice come from the avatar because you always have a preconception of what they sound like. But that's just me, maybe.
Yeah, it can. In fact, there were some people I think who were reticent to use voice among my readers, for that very reason, that they were worried that someone might have had an expectation of what they would sound like. But I think that as we've gone, people have become less self-conscious about it, and I think everyone pretty much is reading in voice now, or a few people elect to have somebody else read for them for whatever reason, and it works out just fine.
Excellent. I know that National Poetry Month is coming up, and you mentioned that it's also National Poetry Writing Month. Could you tell us a little bit about that and what you plan to do? Because it's really ambitious.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Ne No Remo, National Novel Writing Month, happens every year, and we have the National Poetry Writing Month as well. And for National Poetry Writing Month, people tend to write, or the task is to write one poem each day, and for the entire month of April. And so what I'll be doing, as I've done the last several years, is I'll be posting poems at an online forum. I sometimes switch up forums and do it at a different forum. There are many wonderful online poetry forums. But I'm also going to, this year, create a box for my Naporimo poems, and I'll put them on the bar at the Blue Angel. And anyone else who wants to join me by putting their own Naporimo box up should give me an IM. Then we can offer each other a little bit of encouragement. With having people drop by their poems each day and allow other people to look at them.
Excellent. Last I knew, you mentioned a new anthology coming out from the Blue Angel. What is that, and who all is going to be in there?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. We have an anthology that's been long in coming. It's called Blue Angel Landing. I've got the domain reserved, and everything is going to be online. It's going to be wonderful. And the people who are working on putting it together with me are Shara Levanik, who's a real life editor, first life editor, and also Huckleberry Hacks, who's a wonderful writer and also has a lot of experience with web hosting. So and then that will be distributed rather through Standing Stone Galleries, which is also going to have a literary series. So it's all very exciting. The people that are coming into to the volume are poets who have either had their poetry read out loud at the Blue Angel open mic by a friend, or who have read their poems themselves at the Blue Angel open mic. And some of these poems were read a long time ago, and I just asked permission to use them. But some of them have been read in the last year as well. We've been doing this again since 2006, so it's been happening each Sunday at 5 p.m. without missing a single Sunday since then. So we had a wealth of poetry to choose from. I had a little library there for a long time. It's still there, of poems that were read in that first year. But then I decided, I need to really have something a little fancier. So we're getting fancy, and it's going to be awesome.
Excellent. Do you have any kind of publication timeline? When can we expect it?
I'm hoping to have it out by mid-April as a kind of a bit of a celebration of National Poetry Month, and it'll be on the shelf rather than off the shelf. Perhaps you'll take it off the shelf once it's on the shelf.
Definitely. Personally, I have just a ton of questions for you that I haven't got enough time to ask today. But I wondered if there's anything else that we should be looking forward to coming from you in the near future.
Well, only this, that if you are interested in wordplay at all, at Da Vinci Isle, I host something called Predicate Co-host, actually, with the fantastic Salamander Maroon, who's a very funny woman, a very funny comic. And if you are interested in playing around with words and having fun with them, then you might consider coming sometime on Wednesdays at 3:30, or to the open mic for poetry at the Blue Angel at 5 o'clock each Sunday. And that's in Second Life Times.
Thank you, Persephone. It's always so good to chat with you.
Thank you.
We are going to take a short musical break, and when we come back, Simeon will talk with Alas Zerbino from the Story Mountain Center for Writers.
Don't be being so strange. Think I'm losing it, babe.
Hello. Can anyone hear me? That was Making Me Nervous by Brad Sack on the Magnatune album. I don't know what I'm doing.
Simon was asking me the other day why Caledon does not have a poet laureate, at which point I asked him whether he wanted one that was living or dead. My work at the Caledon Library usually deals with the dead poets. What do you think?
Alive one, I think. The usual salary of a barrel of wine a year is hardly excessive. I think we should write to the Primgraph and suggest it.
Perhaps they can have a limerick contest to decide the poet laureate as part of the Relay for Life fundraising efforts at Caledon.
Yes, that's definitely an idea. But now it's time to talk to Alas Sabino. Hello, Alas.
Hi, Simon. Hi, dear. Nice to be here.
When Kagir and I read the potted biography you gave us for this show, we were in awe. It's beautifully organized and gave us everything we needed. In real life, your job is communicating information to people, and you obviously can.
Well, thanks a lot. Good to know that all those years of writing training programs and user guides has paid off a little. Thanks.
Well, let's start by looking at your in-world ventures. How did Story Mountain Center for Writers get set up? Who talked whom into doing it?
Oh, it's a great story, the story of Story Mountain. A few days after I first come in world, over a year ago, I happened to meet another avatar. Her name was Clarissa Tolson, and we were both strolling around Inksters, which is a writer-focused venue in Second Life. And we got to talking, discovered we were both fiction writers. We have a lot of other similarities in life. Became great friends, and from that came our desire to build our own writer's center. So the Writer's Center was actually Clarissa's idea. She's a creative writing professor in real life and loves to teach. Her focus is on literary fiction, and we hadn't been finding many writing classes on that in Second Life. So when she broached the subject, I'd already been thinking about wishing I had some sort of writers a place where writers could come together in support groups, support and boutique groups, and have been thinking about starting that. So it was a perfect combination. And then it just so happened about that time. This is all, it's wonderful how the universe works. Another in-world author we've come to know, Cybergirl O, in Second Life and Real Life, her name is Aliza Sherman. But she was running events for writers on her resume on Planetina Aya, and she had was offered a chance to buy the whole skin. So she asked us and some other women to buy it with her and to create this island where we could all support each other's endeavors. And so Clarissa and I jumped at the chance, built Story Mountain, and subsequently all of the writers' events on Athena Aya were transferred to us.
So, it continues to grow. What are you offering at present?
Well, right now we are planning for a new series of creative writing classes that will start in May, and also some additional meetings of the Athena Isle Writers, which is where we bring in published authors like Ellie Banks, Michelle
Oh,
Richmond,
yes.
and for informal roundtable discussions with the group members who are all writers, and that's really fun. But our biggest thing right now just happens to be the central information base, database of sorts that we've kind of pulled together where we, at Story Mountain, you go inside the lodge and there's a calendar with as many writers' events in Second Life as we can find, and also lists of places for writers and groups for writers. And, it's just really amazing how rich Second Life is with resources for writers. And I'm sure there's plenty more we haven't discovered, and we'd love to get information about those.
Yes, we've got a Wheeling to You subscriber. If you look up over there on my left, you'll see that there's one on display here right now.
Yes, I saw that. That's great.
Yeah. So, what have you got planned for the future?
Well, more writing classes, especially the Writers Who Want University level instruction, mainly in literary fiction, poetry, and creative nonfiction. And then we're going to start out with writers' approaches that I wanted to have. The writers' groups are less common in the physical world, and many published authors insist that they're one of the keys to getting published. But a lot of us don't have access to them in Riverside, and or find that getting to them to be time-consuming and costly. Second Life is a perfect thing for this group. So that's what I'm going to be focusing on next.
And you think there's still a lot out there. So you want people to contact you to let you know about events?
Absolutely. The goal is, what I have done is I have tried to juggle all the writers' groups in Second Life that I can, with a 25-group limit, and try and keep track of what's going on. And that's how I started putting the calendar together. But, with only 25 groups at all, I can't be everywhere. So I really, really would like it if people would send me information about groups, events, places that they don't, that they know of, that I don't understand. And it isn't just events, but also we have, places and groups too. So they can IM me and send me a note card. They can go to my blog and send me a note on the contact page. And I also have a Gmail account just for this. And it's alastasabino@gmail.com. My other card is
Alastasabino. Right, so make a note of that, everyone. And the blog is Writers in the Virtual Sky. So, how long do you spend each week maintaining Writers in the Virtual Sky? I know Kagi is on her weekly update events of the list virtually all the time, it seems to me, on occasion. Monday nights, she just doesn't do anything else.
I sure can relate to that. And, I just love those weekly lists that you send out there. So they make my updating look a lot easier too. Thank you.
Thanks. But,
it's marvelous. Actually, once the work of getting it set up was done, it doesn't take me a whole lot of time right now because mostly all that I have up there are ongoing events. I can just, repeat them. And then I try and make sure that some haven't dropped off. But so I don't spend a lot of time. I would probably spend more time if I tried to get all of the occasional special events up there, which I don't have time for right now. But I've invited other Second Life residents who do run programs for writers to post their events directly on there. So as you two know, because you two have taken me up on that offer, and I think that'll really expand the calendars at this point.
Yes. Yeah, get the other people to do the work. I'm always in favor of that. Never seems to work.
No, it doesn't.
So, where was I? Oh, yes. So tell me about the learning experience. What do you do for them?
Okay, the learning experience. The founder of that, Kit Silverberg, is the reason why I'm writing the blog, Writers in the Virtual Sky, now. Shortly after it came into Second Life, I took a blogging class from him. He's a real, real well-known blogger, among other things. And he really helped me shape the ideas that became my blog. And so after the class ended, I looked at my blog, and he began to implement this incredible vision he has of setting up a free accredited university in Second Life. And the learning experience, it's huge.
Wow.
Months later, after the class, he contacted me because when he was setting up his TLE blog and asked me to be the blogger for that. So I write the blog, and I write most of the blog posts for the Learning Experience blog, it's, about what's happening there. But also, TLE runs its creative showcases for artists, musicians, and so on, and they're wonderful because these creative people get to display their work, that's the free, it's really supportive of the creative elements of Second Life. One of those is the writers, of course. And when their writer's chauffeur's manager had to leave, they asked me to take over running the weekly open mic feedback groups for writers that had just gotten started. So one meets on Monday, every Monday at 6 p.m., and we've had a lot of fun with that. But there are those writers from over the pond, across the pond, who found that to be too late. So now, starting this week, we have added a second session, and we're going to start having one also every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. SLT. So those are really cool.
Uh-huh. And you still find time for your own creative activities. You're writing two books, not just one, but two, and you're editing a journal, Suzanne's Carrot. Where do you find this time from? Tell me the secret.
Oh my gosh. Unfortunately, I don't do hardly anything else in life. Except let my dog in and out the door. Yeah, I wish there was more time. I have so many things I'd love to do, but I work at each thing a little bit, and I try to do what the writing experts say to do, which is to sit my butt down in front of a keyboard every day for at least a little while to write on my own name.
Yes, I find that if Second Life's on in the background, it soon comes to the foreground, so it's probably best if you don't switch that on.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Alas.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Alas is such a great resource for writers in Second Life. I'm going to go up to the Story Mountain Center for Writers and take a look at what she's got for you. We're running a little over tonight, so why don't we go ahead and just come to an end? Why don't you join us next time when we're going to be talking with Explorer Dastardly and Manx Wharton?
Yes, I'm going to have to disappear now, as Puck of Pook's Hill is about to be read by me at the West of Ireland hymn. We'll talk to you in world after the show.
Thank you, Alas and Persephone, for coming on to Off the Shelf.
Off the Shelf is produced for Radio Real by Zanoxi Han, Kagia Gerardi, and Simeon Beresford, and is licensed under Creative Commons. You can find Radio Real on the web at radioreal.org. All music in this production is from artists on the Magnitude label. The music in the general introduction is John Playford's All in a Garden Green by Eileen Hadidian and Natalie Cox from their album Dolce Musica, A Contemplative Journey. The off-the-shelf theme music is 1500 Tons by Burning Babylon from their album Stereo Mashup. And we bid you goodbye with this song, Hagagastan 14, by Eternal Jazz Project from their album Gratis Jazz. You can learn more about Magnatune and their artists on their website at magnatune.com.